my voice. You are his voice. You are his hands. You are his feet. You are his body. Hallelujah. We're all the representation that God is today is through you. So that even Jesus said, he that has seen me, he's already seen the Father. You are the representation of God this morning. Amen. If you'll stand, I want to go to the word of the Lord. I want to make this quick announcement while we have the adults in here. 6:30 this Wednesday is the all-church choir practice. So we'll make that again later, but I want to get that in your mind. This Wednesday, 6:30, right here at the church house. Luke 14:10, but when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room. He's talking about when you're bidden to a feast, a wedding, or whatever. When you get there, if you get an invitation to go, sit in the lowest room. Then when he that bade thee cometh, he may, didn't say he would, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Say that with me. Go up higher. One more time. Go up higher. Yeah. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. Wow. Then they'll go, wow, he must be somebody. He must be good. He must have favor and all these things. When you sit in the lowest place and you move up higher, I want to talk this morning about a call to go up higher. A call to go up higher. Lord, I'm thankful for this day. I'm thankful for the people of God that's gathered together to hear your word. Lord, we don't want to disappoint anybody. Let everybody receive something fruitful out of the word of God. Use me as you see fit in this message in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. If anybody can lift up their hands and their voice to thank the Lord, I think it ought to be us today, maybe especially me. Brother Steve Belshi, I'll tell you, I thought about you the last couple weeks, and it's due to a tractor. And I was out in the woods, and I got ready to downshift it a little bit to go into low with that side shifter, and it just got stuck. It wouldn't go in gear. It was neutral. And thank the Lord. There's always a silver lining in everything. And I thank the Lord that my truck was parked where it was down a fire lane, that it was dry. I was able to take my, because it wasn't going any place. It'd run, but it wouldn't go. A lot of people run. I mean, you know, they're running, but they're not going any place. But this tractor was like some people. And so I backed my truck up, and backed the trailer up, put the winch on the front, winched that dude, that tractor on that trailer, and brought it back to the shop. And they said, something was dry in there. I said, boy, I don't know what it is, but it won't move. So they took it apart, pulled the tractor apart, because now they have an improved part. I always get last year's model. They have an improved part, which your tractor probably has. And now it shifts good. So I'm like, oh, boy, I'm ready to go back to the woods. So I go back to the woods, and when I get there, you know, I smell, that smells like hydraulic fluid. But, you know, they just pulled it apart. It's kind of like when you put oil in your engine. You always get a drop or two, you know, on the manifold, and it's going to smoke a little. So I didn't think much about it. But then after a while, I noticed that lifter wasn't doing right, and I said, I got a problem. So I get off, and it's spewing hydraulic fluid out of a little coupler there. And of course, I don't have the wrench or the tools to get in that little crack where it's at. Crescent wrench was no value. You get it in there, but you couldn't move it. And so anyway, I loaded it back up, and I looked at my watch. It was like 3:30. I said, I might could get back there before they close. So I'm telling you, I wasn't speeding, but I was doing the limit. And with that tractor, trying to get back there. As soon as I get back there, they come out there, and they say, what are you back for? I said, come see. And I showed them, and there was two nuts on there that they had unhooked. They didn't hook them back, and they were just like loose there. So I knew it was where they had pulled it apart. And he said, it's nothing you did. I said, I know that. Nothing you did, but we're going to have to, you know, fix it. So they were really nice. They stopped everything they were doing, and they fixed it. And they said, man, we run your tractor around for a couple of hours, you know. I'm like, what was you doing with my tractor for a couple hours? But anyway, they got it fixed. I'm happy. And I told my wife, I run up to Toledo Bend. I had a little bit to do. I pulled the tractor up there. So I said, when I come back, I'm going to do a little bit more bush hogging before I come in on Saturday. So I get to the lease. I let the tractor off, and I'm ready to go. I'm telling you, it wasn't 30 minutes. All of a sudden, smoke starts coming out from underneath the hood, and I knew that smelled like radiator fluid. So I'm like, I must have stuck a stick up in there or something, because I'm bush hogging, you know, tallows and stuff like that. And so I knew, I wasn't, again, thank the Lord, silver lining. I wasn't far from the truck, and I knew it was on, the temperature was going to go like this real quick. So I put it in high, and I just whoop right on top of that trailer. I mean, just that quick. I just put it on there. And so I get under that tractor. I'm looking for a hole, because I've done that before, where a stick went through this and went through that, and I don't see anything. So I pop the hood up, and I look, and the fan belt came off and caught the fan blades and broke all the fan blades off and threw them into the radiator. So I said, well, I can't do anything about this. I might as well shut the lid. The hood wouldn't shut. I had to tie it down. And I called my wife, and I said, well, I'm headed home. You know, I got 30 minutes in. Got a good old 30 minutes. I'm just telling you, you just, see, I get to practice what I preach to y'all. You remember I said, and the electricity's out? It's out. I mean, big deal. Don't need to chew anybody out. It's out. You know, it's not going to make it come on because you get mad at somebody. So I'll bring it back to them, and we'll practice some more of my patience tomorrow and see how that goes. But anyway, I just thought I'd ramble a little bit and tell you about my week. How was your weekend? Was it okay? Can you top that? So anyway, Brother Steve, can I borrow your tractor? I've been, you know, while mine's in the shop. A call to go up higher. I don't know about you, but I still don't like where I'm at. I still don't like. You say, well, Brother Baggett, if I could just be like you in this, I still don't like where I'm at. I am still trying to get higher and higher than I was yesterday and last year and 3 years ago and 5 years ago. I just want to go higher in God. I'm not worried about society. I'm not worried about men. I'm not worried about even you. I want to go higher with God. And I hear a call saying, come up higher. The Bible says in Revelation, the bride and the spirit say, come up. Come up higher. Hallelujah. There is a call to keep moving higher till you get to the New Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Even in our death, we are called up higher. I want to talk about this called up higher, and Jesus gives them this parable here. But let me read you a little bit about the life of Jesus, such a model to follow. In Luke 2 and 40, it says, and the child grew. So we know that Jesus was just an ordinary child. When the announcement came that you're going to have a child, his name shall be called Jesus, he'll save his people. Mary pondered all these things in her mind. She really didn't know. And I imagine if she had this baby and it's got colic just like every other baby's got colic, it's got problems like every other baby's got problems, it's getting picked on in school just like everybody else gets picked on. Well, what's so special about this? But the Bible says she kept those things in her heart. She's like, I don't know what this means, but there's something somewhere along the line will be revealed. So this child, Jesus, doesn't come out of the womb doing miracles. It's just a normal child, but it grew. Now watch how it grew. It grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. That's a winning situation right there. When you're strong in spirit, that no matter what happens, you can't break my spirit, my will to get higher, my will to survive, my will to please, my will. When you break somebody's spirit, they quit. Spirit-filled, full of wisdom. Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year. So this is the 12th year. Every year they went to the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. So this is his 12th time to go. And when they had fulfilled the days and they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. 12 years old. He says, I think I'm going to stay a little longer. He doesn't even tell them that he's staying. And Joseph, his mother, knew not of it. And when he went down with them, now this is verse 51. They go looking for him. They can't find him. And you know the story. They take 3 days. They turn around from going back to Jerusalem. And 3 days they're looking for him. They find him in the middle of the synagogue, talking to the doctors and the lawyers and asking questions and all these kinds of things. And they're saying, you know, don't you care that we were troubled about you? And he said, don't you know that I must be up and about? I'm 12 years old.
It's time to get down to business. It's time to be accountable to who I must be accountable to. At 12 years old, you ought to start being accountable for your own actions. And verse 43, and when they had fulfilled the days and they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Verse 51, and when he went down with them and came to Nazareth, so they regained their relationship with him, and they go down to Nazareth, and Jesus was subject unto them. He would, even though he had a mind now of his own, he was still subject to the higher power on earth, which was his mother and father. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased. He was growing in verse 40. And now he's increasing in wisdom and in stature and in favor both with God and with man. Now, this parable that Jesus gives his disciples about seating arrangements is what sparked me to talk about this morning, because it was based upon two things, what you think about yourself and what perhaps you want other people to think about you. And so he tells them that when you go to a gathering, don't come in, even though you're bidden, so are the other guests, don't come in and sit in the highest room. Because if you sit in the highest room to start with, if one more noble or one more honorable than you comes in, then the one that bid thee say, can we have your seat, please? Because you may be the chairman of Save Our Frogs, but he's the chairman of Save Our People. And so if you don't mind, if you could sit over here, because we need to let him sit here. It's kind of embarrassing. It's kind of embarrassing because other people are out there going, boy, he's got to be embarrassed. What was he thinking to sit up there as if he's somebody? And now you are humiliated. It's like preaching before it's time. It's like doing anything in God before it's time. If you're not careful, you claim to be something you're not. And then when you have to step back, you don't recover. A lot of times they don't recover. I can name you preacher after preacher that thought they was ready to pastor and thought they was ready to do this, and then things happened. Guess what? They never recovered. And so it's a very trying thing to go backwards and then work your way up. He said, but when you come in, even though you're bidden, he said, take that lowest room. Take that humble attitude. And then when the one that bids you comes in, he may say, hey, you, come here. We got a place for you for Save Our Frogs right here. You can sit right by the guy that's chairman for Save Our People. And then when you get up from the back and you start, everybody's going, he must be important. Same guy. It's the same guy. He does the same thing. But because of what he thought of himself, he got abased. Are you with me? And not because someone else called him higher, but he called himself higher. And anytime you call yourself higher, get ready, you're fixing to fall. Because that becomes pride, and pride cometh before a fall. So Jesus is teaching a principle to them. Let other people notice you and call you up. Don't notice yourself and call yourself up. Other people will notice. And he said, then you have worship or praise of all people as you come into your own. So Jesus followed this same principle throughout his own life. His own life. For he said, whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted. I was told in seminars, I've given a few seminars, they always said, when you give a seminar and it's open to the public, you never know how many is going to come. So what you want to do is only put out a few chairs to start with. Don't put out 200 chairs thinking, oh, that's just slam dunk. This is going to be packed out. Because when 20 people show up, and you got 200 chairs out there. People, where's everybody at? You mean, did you advertise this or did you? It must not be that good a seminar because you got so many empty chairs. Because your expectations now show. But they said when you have a seminar and you don't know how many, put out 20 chairs. Because it's always better to say, we need more chairs. We need more chairs. So the 20 that are there said, man, he's got more people coming than he expected. He must have really got the word out. You see, it's perception. You see what I'm talking about? So Jesus, when he comes into this world, he doesn't make an announcement. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. No, he doesn't do that. He follows this same pattern of going from the lowest to the highest. And he that comes in humble will later be exalted. But if you come in exalting and tooting your own horn, it won't be long before you'll be in a corner somewhere wishing that you had never done that. We should never despise the day of small beginnings because everything started small. Microsoft started in a garage. It first started with an idea. Then it went to a garage, and look at it today. Same thing are true with churches or anything in life that grows. It's always started small. Jesus heard the call to move higher, and he knew in his heart you cannot make that move, just leapfrog it. You have got to make it one step at a time. So the life of Christ started as this baby Jesus born in an unstable environment called a stable. And there among the beasts of the field, he humbled himself and was wrapped in a swaddling clothes. So he came in humble and he will leave humble as they strip him of his swaddling clothes and hang him on a tree. And rather than Jesus coming in as the Son of God in royalty, he comes in poverty as the Son of God. And if you're in poverty, you don't have but one way to go. You can stay the same if you want to, but that'll be your choice. But when you come in royalty, you've got to maintain something. But when you come in poverty, you only have one way to go, and that, my friend, is up. So at 12 years old, Jesus was coming into his adolescence. Adolescence means to be nourished, to grow up into adulthood. Adolescence. It is the essence of adulthood. It is the beginning of adulthood at 12 years old. And many times it worries me that we have, not in this church, of course, but we have so many people that claim to be Christians and they've been in the church 12 years, 15 years, 20 years, and they're still adolescent Christians. They never grew up. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I thought as a child. I was doing childish things because I was a child. But when I became a man, I grew up and I put away worrying about who sang the last song. I put away worrying about whether we the function, they didn't invite me. I put away whether they had a party and I didn't get it. I put that stuff away and I became a man and lived for God on my own and didn't worry whether somebody else was carrying me to church or not, or calling me, texting me, emailing me, saying, where are you at? I just showed up. I grew up. I don't know. I guess maybe I'm just getting older. In fact, I know I am. But it seems to me like some of you, this is the adult class, when we grew up, you could ask any kid, 5 years old, what do you want to be when you grow up? And they had an answer. I want to be a fireman. I want to be like Brother Jake. I want to be like Dr. DeBakey and be a heart surgeon. I want to be like Neil Armstrong and walk on the moon. And they always had an answer. You remember that? Those days? Ask them now. I don't care if it's 5, 15, or 25. I don't know what I want to be. I don't know. And they still don't know. They never had a forward thinking. It was always right now. And so they go through life in adolescence and never grow up. The essence of growing up is when you know what you want to be tomorrow and you find a way to get there. Not waiting on somebody else to get you there, but you find, you may need other people, and I will preach about that in just a minute. You do need favor from other people. But I can't wait on some other man to stir up the water for me to get in. And so today, I may not be where I want to be, but I'm not where I used to be. Hallelujah. And there's always been a call to move up higher, but there's always been a challenge to stay put and stay with the familiar. It's been said many times, if you're ever going to do anything, no guts, no glory. You've got to get out of your comfort zone lest you stay where you're at the rest of your life. And the number one reason I have found for people parting ways, whether it be divorces, churches, or whatever it may be, it is this: I never grew up. I've heard more male men say that to me when I've counseled with them in marriage than women. I never grew up. I still wanted to be a boy with toys. I never grew up. I never was the husband I should have been. I never was the father I should have been. I never spent the time with my kids like I should have spent. And by the time they get out of adolescence, it's over. And they've messed up. Never grew up. And the same answer is true in the church. If you're not careful, people that get out of church or people that drift away, they don't grow up. Because when Paul grew up, he said, "Who shall separate me from the love of Christ? Not peril, nor tribulations, nor things present, nor things to come, not mom and dad, nor church trouble, or nothing shall separate, because I'm in love with him. I'm not in love with you. I'm in love with him." So now at 12 years old, Jesus is moving into this growing stage, both physically and spiritually. And he just started off as a regular child, not doing miracles or anything. But something, he grew in favor. He increased in strength, in the grace of God, and in spirit, and in wisdom. So that at 12 years old, we find him, Brother Gidrose, at the Feast of the Passover for the 12th time. This is because they went every year, the Bible says. So this is his 12th time. And guess what? This is that adolescent stage where you got to start thinking for yourself. It is that age when I call the age of accountability. Somewhere's around there, you've got to start realizing, I am going to be lost without God. I shouldn't have stole. I shouldn't have lied. I shouldn't have cheated. Whatever it is, you've got to be accountable. Mom and daddy can't always cover for you. You have got to say, it's me that's making these mistakes. It's my own bad choices. And then get forgiveness from God and be accountable for what you have done. So 12 years old, some before, hopefully no later than that. And generally, I like to see kids getting the Holy Ghost before they get to that age. Because I'm telling you, we're in a world today that, you know, whether it be sexual things or drug things or whatever, they're doing it younger and younger and younger and younger. So they're getting more accountable younger and younger and younger. No one moves into adulthood and out of adolescence until their mind moves first. Your mind moves first. And when these days were fulfilled, they began returning home. But Jesus had a mind to stay behind. And he stays at Jerusalem, and his mother and his father, Joseph and his mother, knew it not. They supposing him to be in the company, they had gone about a day's journey, and they sought for him among the kinfolks and the acquaintances. Have you seen Jesus? I thought you had Jesus. No, I thought you had Jesus. And they're trying to find. There is nothing more frightening than a parent who can't find their kid. You talk about a moment of flash and terror and frightening. I can't tell you how many times I've been in the store. And Melanie was always the one a little more plundering than Dave. And she would hide behind the clothes while her mother would be trying something on. And I'm telling you, Melanie Kay, where are you? Where are you? I'm right here, Mama. I'm right here. You know, because if we didn't, it was going to be an Amber Alert real quick. How many of you know where Amber Alert came from? It was from a girl named Amber, who was lost, 1996. And her mother called the FBI and trying to find her daughter. So they now call it an Amber Alert.